Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. The 76ers go for two in a row when they take on the Knicks this evening. Let's look at where they've been and get a sense of where they're going with Mark Zumoff, Emmy Award-winning play-by-play broadcaster for the 76ers. Mark, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Dave, you're quite welcome. It's actually rather stirring that we're going for two wins in a row when you consider how we started the season.
It certainly is, and I watched last night's game and heard you, and it was certainly poignant for longtime fans. There's Julius Erving and Clinton Richardson in the house honoring the late, great Moses Malone, all members of the most recent championship team way back in 1983. So, Mark, here we are celebrating an ending of a pro sports record 28-game losing streak. Take us through what's been called general manager Sam Hinkie's process to restore the team to true contender status.
Well, among Sixers fans, the ardent Sixers fans, that's exactly what they call it, the process. And basically, when Sam came in, the 76ers were actually left in tatters. They had made an ill-fated trade for Andrew Bynum, who is a center of some repute, but unfortunately, he had severe knee issues and actually never played 1 minute for the team. And in order to acquire him, they basically broke up the nucleus of a team. He traded away a lot of veterans, and in return got a lot of first-round picks. And while some general managers in the NBA consider those to be of high value because it's a great way to rebuild, others choose to go the free agent route and take more established players. So when you're dealing with young players, you are dealing with the inevitability that it takes them time to develop. And when they take that time to develop, there is unfortunately a fair amount of losing. And that's what the Sixers have experienced over the better part of the last 3 years.
Though some wonder why it can't be a combination of both, consider the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have two young stars, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and yet they're mentored by Kevin Garnett, Tayshaun Prince, and Andre Miller, who I believe collectively have played just under a half century in the association. Our veteran is who? Robert Covington at the sage age of 24.
You're right. There is one veteran actually on the team. His name is Carl Landry, but he hasn't played a game because he recently had wrist surgery and he's recovering from that. So you're right. There are a bunch of young guys who literally have to police themselves. A lot falls on the shoulders of Brett Brown, the head coach, who has said in public that it's upon him to help to mentor the team and keep things in order. And I think one of the thought processes behind not having veteran players is that if you do have them, they tend to grumble when young players are being played ahead of them. And that's what Sam Hinkie wants to do. He wants to get young players experience. He has thrown them into the fire. And there is no substitute for playing experience. So while it would be nice to have a mentor looking over your shoulder, it takes a special veteran to assume that role while not playing and not wanting to take the risk of acquiring someone who's going to hurt the chemistry of a young team. The Sixers choose to go this route, and hopefully it'll benefit them in the long run.
Did we, though, have one as recently last year in the name of Jason Richardson?
Jason Richardson was an excellent mentor and a good guy to have around. He did decide to retire this year. We also had another player, Luke Baamute, who I think served that role as well. But again, I would think that Sam Hinkie thought about it, and when you can't come up with a veteran or two who you don't think will be happy just riding the plane or riding the bench, if you will, you decide to go with young players, and that's what the Sixers have decided to do. And hopefully, it'll benefit them in the long run.
We've heard about these young players, and almost every player who comes into the league really only knows inordinate winning, and now this losing and losing. Let's talk about Coach Brett Brown. I believe his record now is 38 wins, 144 losses. I can't imagine any other NBA coach starting out would still be in the league. What about Brown that he, A, has the stamina to do this and is still valued by management as the person to lead them into the promised land?
He's really been a remarkable coach, leader, mentor, and face for the franchise when you consider what they've been through. He is now in his third season, and any coach or player is an inbred competitor. Nobody wants to lose. So what he's had to do is he's had to steal himself from that. He has had to keep his players together and steal them from that, and ultimately focus on other goals, whether it be player development, player chemistry, or building an overall organizational culture as it relates to sports science, which he's very very much involved in, or constructing a new team facility, which they're doing currently in Camden, which is to be state-of-the-art. So these are the things you focus on, and you allow wins and losses to take care of themselves. You hope that the joy of last night is something that can spread over the team and hopefully get them some more wins. But in the meantime, you consider that not the ultimate goal, and some other goals seem to take precedent.
Perhaps part of the rampant speculation about the Sixers' direction comes because Sam Hinkie is sort of a cipher. He hasn't held a press conference since training camp. I believe he had three of them last year. He certainly avoids the glare of the spotlight in contrast to, say, former Sixers president Pat Croce.
That's not to say that Sam isn't effective at doing what he does and is currently doing. He has engaged a lot of folks in the area of analytics, which is a statistical way of breaking down the game. He's done a great job accruing first-round picks. When you consider the fact that the Sixers will not only have their own, but they will have the Lakers pick, which is protected 1 through 3. So if the Lakers happen to get the first, second, or third pick, they will get that pick. They have Miami's pick protected 1 through 10. They have Oklahoma City's pick, I believe, protected 1 through 15. And because of their trade with Nick Stauskas, or with Sacramento for Nick Stauskas, they have the right to exchange picks with the Sacramento Kings. So if the Kings should have a better pick, say, than the Sixers, say they get lucky in the lottery, they'll be able to use that pick. So while he prefers to allow the players and the coaches to be in the spotlight, it's not to say that Sam Hinkie is not being effective, working in his own way. He's put the Sixers in a great position for the future, and you know the hope is that some of those seedlings once planted will bear some fruit.
Give us cause for optimism moving forward. The last six games, the Sixers have had leads going into the fourth quarter. That's encouraging.
Yes, and that's the first step, and then the next step was to close out a game, which they were able to do last night. So now that they finally have the monkey off their backs and that win under their belts, like anything else, you hope that winning breeds a certain level of confidence, which will help them moving forward. But when you think about it, and this is, again, going back to Sam Hinkie and what he does, and a lot of people just don't realize it, not only has he accrued all these good young players and these draft picks, remember, Joel Embiid, who's been hurt, who's had two surgeries now on his foot, he is waiting in the wings. And presumably he could be a very good player. They selected Jahlil Okafor, who could ultimately be an all-star. He's in his rookie year. You have Nerlens Noel, who is a very athletic and talented and smart big man. So in the NBA, where big players, young big players are valued, you have three of them. And then Sam has done a really good job finding players where no one else has found them. Robert Covington, who's suddenly averaging 20 points per game and is playing like a bona fide NBA star, at least recently, was a guy that they found in the D-League, the NBA's minor league last year, and signed him to a four-year deal at a mere pittance when you consider some of the salaries of other players. So those are just some of the reasons to be optimistic. Again, the big word is patience, and that's and process, of course, and Sixer fans, I think, are in line with both.
And toward that end, I'll see your Noel Okafor, Embiid, and Covington and raise you a Dario Saric.
Exactly. That's another guy, a special player who the Sixers picked a couple of years ago in that same Joel Embiid draft back in 2014. And while it's not official that he'll be coming to the Sixers next year, I think it's a pretty good bet that he will. And once he arrives, you'll have a European big man who could do a lot of different things. At 6'10", he could shoot, rebound, pass, and put it on the floor. And has a certain level of toughness that I think Sixers fans will be pleasantly surprised about.
Mark, thanks so much for breaking down the plays and players for us on Newsworks Tonight.
Anytime, Dave. My pleasure.